The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Old NBA rivals go to overtime in Boston on TNT. The Celtics and Knicks. New York by three with time running out.
Here comes Tatum. It's a three. Off. Rebound Horford. Back to Brogdon. Blocked by Brunson. This one's over. The Knicks have won. In overtime by three. 121-117.
Rick Brunson with that key block. It's championship weekend in the NFL. In the AFC title game, CBS's Brady Quinn says attention will be on Kansas City's Patrick Mahomes, who has an injured ankle.
I think the two biggest keys are, what does that mobility look like? How well can the offensive line protect him? Like last week, I thought they did a great job once he did come back in the game after being banged up. And can anyone stop Travis Kelce?
In the NFC, it's Eagles 49ers. Billy Packer, the longtime Final Four college hoops analyst on CBS and NBC, has died at 82. CBS Sports Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
The 7-10 five-day forecast calls for partly to mostly cloudy today. Temperatures actually not too bad. We'll be in the lower to middle 40s, upper teens and low 20s tonight. Cloudy and colder Saturday. Highs upper 20s with areas of light freezing drizzle and light snow by afternoon. Areas of fog, light freezing drizzle and snow, cold. Single digits Saturday night. Very cold Sunday, Sunday night and Monday with areas of light snow. High Sunday only making the teens, only single digits Monday. Meteorologist Don Day on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
Listen live on Odyssey.
Portions of the following program have been pre-recorded. He's a proud father, a family man.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it really, really well.
A true patriot. The former 18th District DA.
The three most useless jobs in the world are, in order, lawyer, congressman, and doctor.
And Army veteran who served the U.S. of A.
I wasn't super paying attention, but I will give 110%.
He's George Brockler.
I talk a lot, so I've learned to just tune myself out.
And this is The George Show.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
On News Talk 710. KNUS. KNUS.
KNUS. 6 minutes after, good morning and welcome. Oh, you're stuck with me again. It's not my fault. They keep calling. And my kids. I don't know what their problem is. It's like every day they want to eat. Like every day. It's so annoying. I'm John Caldera, in for the big man. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. George is still out of town playing Soldier Boy. I wonder if he and his wife do the scene at the train station. Be sure to come back. Stay low. Don't be a hero, George. Don't be a hero. You know, honey, I might not come back. So, give me something to remember you by. Yeah, that could work. That could definitely work. Little role-playing at the Brockler household. Oh, you didn't need that at 6 in the morning, did you? Now you can't get it out of your head. 303-696-1971. So it happened last night. It almost killed us all. And you just slept right through it, didn't you? Yeah, I think it happened last night. Will it happen tonight? My God, maybe it will kill us all. An asteroid the size of a delivery truck whipped past Earth. One of the closest such encounters ever recorded. And now they tell us? NASA insists, I'm reading from the paper this morning, but I think it was about last night, it will be a near miss with no chance of the asteroid hitting Earth. Isn't it amazing they can even track it and be that accurate? Now, think about this. NASA said Wednesday, that the newly discovered asteroid will zoom 2,200 miles above the southern tip of South America. Isn't that a little redundant? What other tip of South America is there? Will they be going by the northern tip of South America? Anyway, it was the next sentence that got my attention. I don't know what 2,000 miles above the southern tip of South America is. So they explain it. That's 10 times closer than the bevy of communication satellites circling overhead. So that happened about 9:30 last night. They said even if the space rock came a lot closer, scientists said most of it would have burned up in the atmosphere, along with bigger pieces of possible falling as meteorites. NASA's Impact Hazard Assessment System, called Scout, quickly ruled out a strike. They said, but despite the very few observations, it was nonetheless able to predict that the asteroid would make an extraordinarily close approach to the Earth. Discovered Saturday, the asteroid known as 2023 BU is to believe between 11 feet and 28 feet across. Wow. It was first spotted by the same astronomer in Crimea who discovered an interstellar comet in 2019. Within a few days, dozens of observations were made by astronomers around the world, allowing them to refine the asteroid's orbit. The asteroid's path drastically will be altered by the Earth's gravity once it zips by. Instead of circling the sun every 359 days, it will move into an oval orbit lasting 425 days. This according to NASA. All right, so here's what I took from this very quick little article from the AP. One, some editor let it slip that it was going to zoom 2,000 miles above the southern tip of South America and thought that that was a good sentence. Or maybe they clarified it to say, America is so stupid that if it was above the tip of South America, we better specify that's on the south. Go figure. But really what got me was that this thing was discovered by some guy in Crimea on Saturday. And it came here last night. So let's see, it was Saturday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 days, 5 days. So they saw it 5 days ago. So, hey, look, I think that's an asteroid, not a planet, not a star. Cool. cool. Now, it takes a little while to see something and then go, oh, the next day it's moving. Oh, that's cool. So it's moving from there to there to there. And I imagine it takes at least 3 days for somebody to go, let's see, move from there to there to there? Golly gee willikers, that sure looks like it's moving from there to there to there. That could be coming towards us. My point being, it's got to take a few days for them to realize that could be, that's coming really close. Is that coming this way? For them to like figure out if this is a danger. So here's the question little naive, ignorant Caldera has. How long does it take between somebody seeing a spot, a little tiny, little fuzzy spot in the sky? I mean, who is looking at all those fuzzy spots in the sky and saying, oh, look, new spot, to the point where they say, that spot is coming towards us, to the time when they go, that spot is coming right towards us, to the time they say, that is not only coming towards us, that could be a really big problem. That's a dinosaur killer kind of meteorite, asteroid. That's the kind of thing that could blow us all up. To the time where they say, you know, maybe we ought to do something about it, if we can. Or will it be one of those things where they call you up and go, we got like a day and a half, it looks like. We think it's going to land. Where will it land? It'll land in the ocean, but it's going to cause such incredible tsunamis and put so much into the atmosphere. Half the population will die. So just thought you ought to know. Back to the NFL game. Or do you think they do the, but we got it handled. we're gonna shoot it down. You know, at some point, something happens. I remember this was probably 20 years ago. And some huge asteroid or asteroids plowed into Jupiter, and they were able to show the photos of it happening. And these scientists were just geeking out because it was, you know, big, big stuff. And they could witness it for the first time. So this, it happens. It happens all the time. Everyone talks about the wonderful symphony of order, of beauty of the universe, as if it's a tightly wound clock with precision and everything. No. I take the opposite side. I think things are flying all over the place, bashing into each other. And over time, things kind of work their way out. But there's still stuff flying around. Otherwise, we wouldn't have meteorites and asteroids and planets crashing into each other. Keep in mind, a lot of theories of evolution come from planet seeding. What? Planet seeding? Yeah. That life started perhaps even on Mars. But when it gets whacked with some big rock, those rocks fly around, some of them land on Earth, and whatever little life was on those rocks start wiggling around here. Who knows? Anyway, 303-696-1971. The delivery truck-sized asteroid missed us, but came much closer than communication satellites. See? Weren't you glad you went to bed not knowing that one? Just thought you might. So let's bring it back home. Why don't they leave poor Jack Phillips alone? I am so tired of them beating up this cake baker. Good God. Here's the story. The courts rule against our favorite cake baker. For a second time in 8 years, Colorado's second highest court has agreed that Masterpiece Cake Shop has violated the state's anti-discrimination law by refusing to sell a cake to an LGBTQ customer. Oh, good God. Have you ever noticed when they go shopping for a cake baker or someone to discriminate against them? They always have to find a good Christian cake baker. They have to go find somebody. They never find a Muslim cake baker. It doesn't fit the narrative. You know, they have to go find a Christian cake baker. I mean, fine, they can go sue whoever they like. I just find it interesting because no Muslim, hardcore Muslim baker, and they're out there, would ever do this cake either. But that doesn't fit the narrative. So the three-judge panel for the Court of Appeals concluded that the store's owner, Jack Phillips, ran afoul of Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act when he turned down a transgender woman's request for a cake because of her gender identity. By the way, I think that's not quite right. If I understand Jack Phillips, he wouldn't discriminate against her to buy a cake. You want to buy a cake? Plenty of cakes here. My guess is this person wanted Jack to decorate a cake celebrating something about her gender identity, not just, hey, can I buy a cake? Although Phillips attempted to justify his actions by referencing his religious beliefs, the panel noted that Colorado has a compelling interest in preventing discrimination in places of public accommodation, like businesses. Who wrote this story? This I'm reading from the Gazette. Michael Karlick. Not wild about the way he wrote this one. CADA, which is the anti-discrimination law, is rationally related to legitimate governmental interest, according to CADA, may be enforced against Masterpiece and Phillips without violating the right of free speech, says the judge. However, the conservative majority, I like that, conservative majority, of the U.S. Supreme Court is poised to hand down the opposite conclusion in a separate but similar free speech case right here in Colorado. That for 303 Creative, if you remember, that is a website that does creative website design. It involves a Christian business owner whose religious beliefs are pretty close to that. So my suspicion is the 303 Creative decision will be very much like Jack Phillips. So Phillips initially refused to serve a wedding couple, a gay wedding couple. He said, I'll make you birthday cakes, shower cakes, I'll sell you cookies and brownies. I just don't make cakes for same-sex weddings. Went all the way to the Supreme Court, Jack won. Jack won because he convinced the court that this cake design was a creative act. It wasn't like he was selling them a bag of potato chips. He was using his artistic speech to create something that was unique. And therefore, it's speech. And to force him to do that is forced speech. By the way, the right of free speech is also the right not to speak. And the court handed down a pretty narrow decision, and I think a very accurate one. The court basically said, Colorado cannot force someone to create, to force speech, a creative act, against their will. Write a poem, paint a painting, paint a cake, take a photograph, to do the things that are considered creative speech. It's a violation of the First Amendment. Absolutely right. I think this is no different. And I don't understand why the other side is so crazed about this. It's not like there's no other place to get a cake. On this issue, and by the way, just so you know where I am on this, I am pro-gay marriage. I have no problem with it. I don't agree with Jack Phillips. If I were Jack Phillips, I would gladly make this couple a cake. I would gladly sell this cake to pretty much anyone. So I don't, as a matter of principle, agree with Jack's position. That being said, I strongly defend Jack Phillips' right to have his position. And I don't understand why the LGBTQTIA plus, I've learned to say this now, why in the world they feel it is necessary to stomp out anybody who doesn't kneel and bow at their will. It is hubris. And it hurts their cause. There are plenty of people to take photographs and bake their cakes. It's not like this is a wedding hall that will refuse to admit them. It's not like this is a restaurant that refuses to serve them or a hotel that won't give them a room. No. This is a guy who says, sorry, it's against my religion. It's against my beliefs. Perfect. It's the same philosophy that protects you and your right to have your relationship and believe in your religious beliefs. Don't you see that? You're in the end zone. You've won the game. You have legalized gay marriage. You've won. Now you're just spiking the ball and being as intolerant as the people who used to keep you down. Congratulations. Does it make you feel good? At the end of this, I believe Jack will win again, but will take another 6-7 years of being hassled. Why don't they just let this poor man live his life? 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. 32 minutes after, I'm John Caldera. Shall we get ready for what will be the national story of the day? At some point today, out in Memphis, the video of the beating death of Tyre Nichols will be released. What's amazing about this is our reactions are being scripted for us. We don't know what the videos show. But we're certainly told what we're going to be reacted to. All right, so Tyreek Nichols, as we understand it, was pulled over for a traffic stop. And he was beaten by five cops, so we're told. He died in the hospital January 10th, 3 days after officers pulled over his car, according to local police. And according to his family's lawyers, he was fatally beaten beyond recognition. The Shelby County Medical Examiner's Office hasn't released the autopsy reports. Interesting. So the family lawyer said the news of the charges against the cops gives us hope as we continue to push for justice for Tyree. Quote, the tragedy meets the absolute definition of a needless and unnecessary death. Officials plan to release videos of the incident, including body camera footage, on Friday evening. Shelby County District Attorney Stephen Mallory said at a press briefing. Now, David Roush, director of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, describes the footage as absolutely appalling. So now we've been told by several different sources what to expect from this footage. And it's odd that they are planning to release this on a Friday evening. It's almost as if they're planning this at just the wrong time. Now, starting with the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton's administration was really good at dropping bad news on a Friday afternoon. Why? Because Friday was a bad news day. You do something on a Friday afternoon, you get lost in the weekend news shuffle. You got a bad economic report, a bad something. When's a good time to release that report? Well, do it at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And there's just not a lot of time for reporters to get quotes, to dive into the story, to follow up on the story. If you do it later, most of the newspapers have already mocked up their pages, although that's not a thing anymore since most papers are online. You know, it was a good time to do that. Is that what they're trying to do here? We're gonna drop it late. It's gonna be a Friday evening drop. And by dropping it on Friday evening, we hope that will minimize the response. Or are they building it up like the release of the latest Apple product, and everyone who wants to go riot is getting jazzed up? What are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're waiting for the new release of the Star Wars movie. I mean the Tyree movie. I mean the video footage of Tyree, that movie, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to go out and smash things up tonight. Really? Last weekend we had Antifa activity in Atlanta and other cities. After the George Floyd incident, you remember what happened here in Denver. I don't want a replay of that. How do you diminish that? And at the other part of this is the cops who are now been fired and charged with second-degree homicide, among other crimes, are all black. So if there is rioting, it's not so much, racism that this is a riot against racism, because it's a group of black men beating another black man. It's almost a more dangerous, message of all cops are bad, black or white cops. Doesn't matter. They are all bad, and they are all out to get minorities. They all can't be trusted. The Denver police force is so very understaffed. They are at a breaking point. Denver is hanging on by their fingernails. The city is disgusting. The city is ragged. Low offense crime is simply not enforced. There's no way to stop it. And since low level crime is not enforced, it invites higher level crime. Police recruitment is down. There are over 200 positions for cops unfilled. Cops are constantly doing double shifts. They're tired. Their morale is broken. I talked to one police officer the other day as they were trying to chase away the homeless people that constantly infest our streets. And he said, when I asked him, so really, how bad is it? How demoralizing is it? And he told me, the other day, I just arrested a guy for stealing 4 cars. I arrested him and brought him in. Later that day, I arrested him again for stealing cars. The rules have changed so that as long as it's not a violent act, it's very hard to keep them in jail for more than just a few hours. Most of these crimes are like just getting a summons. Here's your ticket. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Another piece of paper. You and I care about getting these summons because we care about the law. The others don't. They're not going to spend time behind bars. So they're out. Now, there's a different dynamic now versus then. Under the George Floyd riots, we had a different president. And therefore, the George Floyd riots were a practice run for rioting against Donald Trump. You know, I look at it here in Colorado. What in the world are you rioting against, Antifa? What part of the state don't you control? Do you not control the courts? Yeah, you got those. The legislature, you got those. The governor's office, you got that. The large cities, you got that. The school boards, you have them. What don't you own? You own it all. You have everything. What in the world do you want? So when this movie comes out tonight, you know that the Antifa world is ready and raring to go. This will be their go time. The question is, have we had enough of it? Yes, it's important to see what happened. If this is what we think it is, these cops need to be brought to justice. That's the law. That's the law. You don't answer lawlessness with more lawlessness. What do you expect is going to happen over this weekend? Is this going to be a free-for-all? And what about it being black cops beating up a black man? That's the different dynamic here that I think we haven't quite figured out what that means. But the left is going to love this because the message is all cops are bad. All cops are bad. That's the message they want. That's the message Antifa and behind them, socialists want. 303-696-1971. Give me a call on that one. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Keep it here. 710 KNUS. It's 11 minutes to the top. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Caldera in for George. Later on this evening, the video of the beating of Tyre Nichols will be released. We'll see black cops beating a black man. And then the fireworks start. Let's go to the phones. Pete, good morning. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you, Pete.
Good morning, John. I've been a police officer here in Colorado for 26 years, and I just want to comment on what I think the effects of all these incidents are having. I'm towards the end of my career, obviously, but I'm really fearful about policing in general in the United States. I can tell you that over the last 5 years, let's say, I've seen an absolute decline in police services. I've seen most police officers really not willing to go out and do what they signed up to do because they're so scared of the ramifications of doing a good job. At the same time, I'm all for police accountability. But the trend throughout the United States is we're going to have a hard time policing everywhere because of the current conditions. Lack of interest with anyone wanting to do this job anymore.
Let me see if I'm following you, because I think what you're saying is this. Heather McDonald at the Manhattan Institute, interestingly located in Manhattan, has done a lot of research on this and has found that police officers are hesitant to pull their guns. They're hesitant, particularly if there's an African-American suspect, to defend themselves. And more cops are getting shot because of the ramifications of doing their job, because of this type of stuff. They're seeing more and more colleagues being accused of crimes, of having to defend themselves. Here in Colorado, where the immunity laws have been changed and cops are personally liable up to a certain point, that this has turned off a lot of police officers, that they're not willing to commit during those tense moments, that they're holding back. Otherwise, they might get hurt. So they're not doing their jobs the way they used to do their jobs. Is that what you're telling me?
You're 100% correct. And I think it goes deeper than that. I think a lot of the administrations anymore have become political. A lot of these police chiefs are political. They're no longer willing to stand up and speak the truth. You know, we talked about the Ferguson effect. The worst thing that came out of Ferguson is you had a lot of these think tanks that knew what was being said was a lie, hands up, don't shoot. And none of these chiefs collectively got together and said that's a lie. It's a perpetrated lie, and it's a lie that affects how we police. Again, policing up top has gotten so political that a lot of these chiefs are not willing to do the right thing. They go with the political winds, and it's having an adverse effect everywhere. We're seeing crime explode, and our response as a society to it is, well, let's continue to tie the hands of the police officers. And that's what we're getting is what we're asking for, actually. And I have a lot of my colleagues that say, well, the pendulum will swing. And I'm just not so sure about that anymore. And if it does swing, I don't think it's going to swing far enough. being a police officer and a good police officer, you're out there, you're digging, you're asking questions. You know who the bad guys are. You know who the drug dealers are. And most of the colleagues and friends of mine who are great police officers no longer want to risk their own careers, their reputations, and have to go through the muck and the mire anymore and the scrutiny and go out and put those people away. And that's what needs to happen, because they're not willing to jeopardize their family, their careers, their livelihood.
How much have the new sentencing laws affected the morale of cops? I'm thinking about, for instance, car thefts, that Colorado's number one in car thefts because of the new sentencing laws that make stealing a car such a lightweight offense that nobody goes to jail. I look at this and the cops are like, what do you want me to do about this? I arrest the guy. He's out in an hour. Why even arrest him?
You're right, John. We don't even arrest some of these people. We've made stealing a car in some cases misdemeanor.
Yeah,
it
is a misdemeanor.
And you know what? Let me explain to you how it works, too. Is poor people that suffer, because if a car is under a certain value, it's a misdemeanor. But if it's over a certain value, it's a felony.
Let me say my constant theme. The left hates the poor. So you steal a rich guy's mode of transportation, that's a felony. You steal a poor guy's mode of transportation, just as important, that's a misdemeanor. What's the message? Hey, poor guy, screw you. You're not important.
Yeah, the single mother or single father that's working their butt off to support their kids that can't afford a nice car, they're being victimized doubly here. What the legislature has done in this state is nothing less than absurd. It is ridiculous. They're being political. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about criminal justice. And I'll say this, they don't care about the victim. What they're trying to do is appease the tyranny of the minority out here that thinks that police are all bad. I know officers I've worked with that have died and bled for what was doing right. And what the legislature's done in the last two or three years is, in my book, a crime of morality.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Pete. All right. 303-696-1971. It's going to be an interesting evening. You know, I remember when Giuliani became mayor of New York. And he didn't start off by tackling the toughest of crimes. He turned the city around by tackling the lowest of crimes, the squeegee guys. And that was the first domino that cleaned up the city. Cleaning up the homeless is what would clean up Denver. When we come back, I want to talk a little economic policy. Stay tuned. Keep it on KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.